So Joan Rivers' haunted New York City penthouse hit the market for $38 million. Yeah, and I was like reading. I'm like, why is it haunted? And she, before she passed away, she actually had somebody come in and to cleanse it. And they did a whole thing and she insisted it wasn't haunted anymore. Mm. But as I was reading about it and like the stories that she would tell about the things that happened, I guess it's decorated very gaudy. Think about like very Victorian era, a lot of gold, a lot of like ornate furniture, like okay. very old fashioned.
Sure.
So I guess the ghosts were mad that she was remodeling and that's why they were acting up. But she says that there used to be a ghost that would sit next to her and watch her put her makeup on every single day.
Ugh.
And I thought to myself, that's a red flag. Like that to me, I'm out. If every day when I put on my makeup that I know there's going to be a woman that appears that stands next to me and just watches me as I put my foundation on, that's when I say, guys, we're moving out of here. You got to put the house on the market.
Yeah, it's creepy. Are they stuck to the place or are they stuck to Joan Rivers at that point, though, right? And are they a fan or are they making fun of the makeup at that time? That's odd. You know, people say that spirits and the energy is always around us, right? But then just over time, as adults, we lose the ability to see these things.
Yeah, great. But stop staring at me while I'm putting on my eyeliner. So big question. Somebody is watching you every morning while you get dressed that is clearly a ghost and you're aware of the situation. Do you move out of the house or not?
It depends on whether or not I'm turned on by the whole exchange, right? I mean, if it's never been violent and they're not really scary, I don't know. If I really love that house, I might stay. We can share this space.
Do you know that 1/3 of people polled agreed with you and said that if they lived in a haunted house, they would think it's cool and that they would not move out? Yeah. I thought that was insane. Like, I don't ever want to see a ghost in my house. Nothing. But there has to be some things that are trigger points. Like, if that happened, I'm going to move, right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, spooky things happen all around us. I don't always necessarily associate it with, I saw somebody in a sheet. So if you give me some examples, I'll tell you whether or not I'm leaving.
These are real life situations in 3 different homes that this is how they were haunted. You tell me, if you lived in this house, would you move out or not?
Okay. All right.
Number one, whenever they would look in the mirror, they would see children's silhouettes.
Well, that's kind of creepy. I mean, but every year that goes by, I see more and more shadows around me, right?
What?
Little glimpses of light or specks of stars or something like that. And I wonder if it's the bad choices I made as a kid in college and so forth, or if it's some impact that I took to my head, a concussion from, you know, playing something at some point in my life, or maybe I'm just going crazy, or door number 4 could be that it's actually haunted. So if I don't see a clear silhouette, if I just see a shadow, I'll stay.
No, you look in the mirror and you see like a 6-year-old that's dead staring back at you. You move out of the house or you stay?
Oh, I'd probably leave that instant if I saw a 6-year-old that was deceased looking at me in the face. Yes.
How about footsteps on the stairs all night?
I've been in a house where I've heard this. So I was in a house that actually burned down on 666. It was crazy. And we used to hear stuff in the attic every night at that house. Every single night.
But
it had an awesome pool. It was the perfect spot in town. And it was the party place. When there was a holiday, that's where the party was going to be. So, yeah.
Yeah, as long as your house didn't burn down, you were good. You were like, I'll just stay here.
Well, good thing I didn't stay that time.
There was one house that whenever the owners were there, they moved out. But they said that at night they would go to sleep and both of them would have burning sensations while they were asleep, that they were on fire.
I mean, get checked for a BD, right?
Oh,
I mean,
God,
maybe, you know.
No, just move out of the house.
Okay. All right. A burning sensation.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 There's some things that just drive you absolutely crazy. When you see people do it, you think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you. Here's your shot to share it. 1-800-330-9999.
Anna, if you're the person who awkwardly cracks one joke after another, being totally cheesy because you're embarrassed to be approached by the salesperson at a women's intimate store, that's all I need to know about you.
Was this you, Raven?
No, it wasn't me. So I was at Victoria's Secret, and there's plenty of people in there working, right? And when you walk in as a guy, you have no idea what you're looking for in the place, but you're in there for some sort of gift or something, right? So, of course, you're always being approached by somebody that works there. You'll see it time and time again. There's the guy that's embarrassed that he's walking in there, and now he's surrounded by mannequins and lingerie, and an actual woman is coming to speak to him. So they'll be like, no. I don't need any help whatsoever. But it's the person that circles back and makes the awkward conversation with the employee that's really off-putting. So there's a guy there. He's like, so what are the most popular products this season?
What? Like, why?
I swear to God.
Like, get out of here, weirdo. Get out of here.
She would answer, like, she was basically like, bras and underwear, you know, because that's what they sell. And then he's like, can't keep them on the shelves, right? And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, like, how bad is this?
I can't. I you know, I feel, this sounds terrible, but I don't like when I shop in lingerie stores and there's guys in there. If I walk in and they're walking around, I immediately turn around and walk out because I feel uncomfortable. Because I just feel like, are you looking at me and what I'm buying? Why are you in here? You know? Is that terrible? Because it's true.
I mean, it does feel awkward, but I guess it kind of makes sense in a way. I get it. Right.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. CNN Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
What are the big movers this year?
If you sleep with your socks on, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I am with you. I am with you. People that sleep with their socks on, that's great. Anna, do you sleep with your socks on?
No. I think it's so strange that people do that. How do you deal with the friction of your sheets and the socks? I feel like you're just going to start a fire.
Wait, if the socks get clingy to the sheets is what you're saying?
You're going to start a spark.
Yes. No, and I don't want to be sexist, but it feels like a whole lot more girls do it than guys do. Mm. You're always cold. So, you know, if you were fat and, you know, pushing, you know, maximum density of your BMI like I am, like most men are, then, you know, you would always be overheating. You'd have to lose those socks. So
only skinny people have the socks sleeping up.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like skinny people have more sleeping with socks options is all I'm saying.
All right. So I just opened up my fridge and it's actually somewhat embarrassing by the amount of things that are in there, like all leftovers. Ever since I had my knee surgery, you know, my husband, he's been cooking as much as he can, but let's be honest, it's a lot of takeout going on in this house.
Right. And at some point, you're going to lean into it. But so that you want to feel like you're being, you know, somewhat responsible, frugal or whatever, you got to go through these leftovers. You don't want to just toss these things out because then you're like, we're just setting money on fire.
Right. But the thing about leftovers is that they're awesome. I used to be anti-leftovers for growing up and in my early 20s. And I always like hated leftovers. I would go to restaurants, eat half my meal, and I would leave it there like a psychopath.
Oh,
and they would be
gosh.
Like, do you want to take this home? I'd be like, no, I'm good. What is wrong with me? Why was I like that?
Yeah, I don't know why you were like that. I mean, there are exceptions, of course. Certain things are not great when they're left over, but some things even I would argue improve when they're leftovers. Like I like lasagna the next day. Lasagna the first day? Sure, I love lasagna when it's hot coming out of there. But do I love to heat up lasagna and add more ragout when nobody's watching? Yes. Yes, I do.
How do you heat it up? Do you just put it in the oven? Do you put it in the microwave? What do you do?
I can never mess with the oven because by the time I go to the fridge, I'm desperate for food to get it in my gullet anyways. It's enough to ask me to wait 3 to 5 minutes with the microwave. But I like to think I'm a bit of an ace with the microwave. So, you know, there's a couple things. If you're either saran wrap or not saran wrap, and you know, every time you do it in front of somebody who's anti-saran wrap and you put something in the microwave with it on there, they're like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like it's going to poison you or something. But that'll help keep moisture in. If not, you got to add moisture. So you got to hit it with a dollop. You got to hit it with a dollop of water and you got to spin the thing on the plate too. So you can't just put something like a lasagna in the microwave for 4 minutes and let it go in there for 4 minutes. Like you got to spin it on the plate. You got to move it. If you're willing to cut it, that's something even different.
My mom taught me that, putting the saran wrap over something before putting it in the microwave. But then I always inevitably burn my finger, but I'm always fascinated by the giant bubble that it makes, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I was looking at my leftovers, wonton soup, pizza, empanadas, pulled pork. And I was like, what am I going to eat today to start the day? Ironically, with the exception of the wonton soup, I have started reheating all my stuff the same way. Air fryer. I feel like the air fryer has changed the way I heat up leftovers because I feel like the air fryer just does it all better than everything else.
I'll vouch that it does taste great coming out of the air fryer, but I'll also tell you that I don't know how ours works. I haven't ever learned, and I'm not sure my wife is willing to tell me.
What? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, no, I don't know how it works.
America says the number one leftover is pizza.
Well, that makes sense. It's easy to grab. It's good, hot or cold. It's delicious.
The bigger debate comes, how do you heat it up? And I think that's true for a lot of leftovers. What do you think is the best leftover to have in the fridge? And what is your trick to heat it up the next day so it's perfect? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Ann on Raven.
Okay, so This is a little secret, but I'll divulge right now. If you heat the oven at 450 for 10 minutes and you put your pork fried rice, your chicken fried rice uncovered, oh my God. The one secret, though, is you have to put a little bit of water to keep it nice and moist.
Does that work on all the Chinese food or just the rice?
So far, I've only experimented with the rice, but it's like the perfect. For rice, it's perfect.
I'm a water, splash of water thing on everything. But
really?
But I can't wait for the stove to heat up. I mean, if I've already decided that I'm about to have my Chinese leftovers, I probably ate them cold. And I mean, that goes for everything. The boneless spare rib, the spare rib with the bone, anything.
Chinese leftovers is the best. Why would you ruin it and not warm it up properly?
I mean, the rice is bad cold. The rice is really, really good heated up. And you definitely have to put water in there to get the moisture. But I can get that in the microwave. But I'll tell you, lo mein, one of those rare things that's better the day after, and not, you don't need to heat that up. Lo mein cold? Oh, I love cold lo mein.
I like it all hot.
Mm-mm.
I'd wait for it to heat up to 450 for 10 minutes. I just made a note of that in my phone.
You would be burning your hand getting in there all early. Don't act like you won't be.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What makes the perfect leftover, and how do you heat it up?
Listen, every single time that you order Italian food, right, they send you like a ridiculous amount. So I always have leftovers, and I've learned this little trick that if you put just the tiny little bit of water before you put it in the microwave, it's literally like you just ordered. It's fresh.
You're the second person to talk about putting water. I never put water when I heat things up.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Water will save your life. Just had chicken Alfredo heated up last night myself.
Ooh. What does the water do? Does anybody even know?
Oh, yeah, it just makes it so that it doesn't all stick together. Kind of activates the oils again. Nice.
I'm going to Google that. I feel like it's fake. Right.
I'll tell you what's not worth saving. A sub or a hoagie.
Oh, I like that.
No, you put that in the fridge and try and eat that the next day, and it's soggy and melted. Blech.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the perfect leftover, and how do you heat it up?
Okay, hear me out. Leftover French fries.
What?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem... they're famously not good later, but you know, here's what you do. You put them in a pan, melt some butter, and then you pour the butter over the French fries, and then you put them in a toaster oven, so that makes them crispy again. And what? So there you go. So get
and you add
large
1,000 calories.
Then,
yeah.
that sounds crazy.
And delicious.
I mean, here's the thing. First off, to reheat the fries, I got to have fries left over. So the likelihood of me trying this anytime soon. But if I'm desperate enough and there happens to be some nearby, I'll throw more butter on it. But I'm not sold yet.
There's nothing worse than the refrigerated French fries. It's so nasty.
Yeah.
But I never thought about pouring butter on it. And I will be honest, pouring butter on things does make things better.
Usually. Yeah. Right.
So I read that there's this new study that claims that the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon does affect our behavior here on Earth. So when you do something dumb, you can blame it on the moon. Now, is that question is that real? Astrologer Ann, you can visit her online at astrologerann.com. Ann, is that legit?
You know, actually, it's shockingly yes. It affects everything on Earth, this gravitational pull. We already know this just from anything having to do with water because that affects the tides. Hmm. Anybody who swims in open water, anybody who's involved with shipping or boats already knows that. But the human body is so full of water that, of course, we're affected by the pull. Anybody who's involved in medical field knows. Close to a full moon, leading up to it, a lot of times we see a lot of hyper behavior. Yep.
And that all sounds well and good, and I believe it. I mean, I feel that spirit. I feel that energy. But how do I get my boss to accept it, right? You got to back it up with some knowledge. Kick something for me.
Well, part of it, you can think about it in terms of what goes on with nature. When we get a new moon and it's little and you actually can't even see it in the sky yet because it's invisible, it's a dark moon, that's the seed. And then it starts to grow just like a plant. And when the plant gets really big and then we harvest it, you can think of that as the full moon. And then when the plant dies back, it's getting dried out. It's like a husk and everything. That's the tail end of the lunar cycle. So it's a cycle, like all kinds of things that go on in nature. The other thing is when you've got a full moon, the moon and the sun are opposite each other. It's like two people in a boxing ring fighting off against each other. It's polarized energy.
We've talked in the past about Mercury retrograde and how you're not supposed to make big decisions while you're in that period of time. Are you basically saying that we shouldn't be making decisions or doing anything big when there's a full moon because that'll affect our decision and the way we act out?
Well, a full moon is super highly charged energy. And a couple times a year, we also get an eclipse. What a full moon's great for is you get clarity. Do I stay? Do I go? Do I go forward with this relationship? Do I stay with this job? So you don't necessarily act. You get the answer. We don't always like the answer, or sometimes we do. Something could pop and be fabulous. But the best time to do is collect your thoughts, and then after the full moon, when everybody's starting to calm down, then you can make your rational decisions.
Astrologer Ann, okay, so now it's a new year, and a lot of people keep calling this year three of the pandemic, which makes me want to be sick because I want this all to be over and behind us. What do the stars say for the new year? That's coming up next. My least favorite meme right now is year three of the pandemic 2022, because I'm like, can we just put this behind us? And every year we feel like, all right, now we're ready to turn a page, and it's the same old nonsense. What do the stars say are going to happen in 2022? Astrologer Ann from astrologerann.com. And what do you think? Do you think that this is going to be year three, or do you think we're going to be able to move forward? What is the earth telling us?
We are definitely going to see some change this year. However, we are real slow getting out of the gate. Our pal Mercury, who goes retrograde three, sometimes four times a year, is going to go retrograde really soon. But on top of that, we started the year with the planet Venus next door to Mercury already retrograde. So between the two of those, we feel in slow motion, which is good because this is a time to get healthy, get well, get everything organized so we can start to come out of the gate in February. It's going to be a slow start, but I wanted to give you a heads up that one of the really great things coming after January, we're going to have several months with no retrogrades, February 3rd through April 28th. That's the time for people to really move forward. It's all about love, money, and destiny this year.
Ooh,
I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, besides this February 3rd, it's on, which is what I heard the message that you said, February 3rd, it's on.
But I'm gonna put it right in my phone
right now,
February 3rd. Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Got three all clear months. So, let's move forward, baby.
What are other highlights that we can expect this year, right? Times where the energy is really going to be like, all right.
On January 18th, we're going to sense a shift in the air. That's because the North Node, which is a symbol of destiny in a way, that is the place that forces us to move forward in some really great ways, like surprising ways. Those are going to change to two different signs. It's going to be Taurus and Scorpio. So all the Taurus Scorpio people out there, listen up. This is your time for the next year and a half. But what that also means is Venus is going to be a really big player because Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus, and we got the planet Uranus in there, too. So the big Aquarian age stuff, it's all coming down to Taurus and Venus. That's why we're getting our ducks in a row now with the retrograde. Time to get it all together so that this year we're straight on what are relationships going forward with us, what do we feel about money, and what are our values around all of these things.
I'm not going to judge Venus if it wants to be a player this year, Anna. Right. All right? You know, if it's good enough for Mars, if it's good enough for the guys, then it's good enough for Venus, too. You want to be a player? Play on, player.
I like that she said Uranus. How did you say the name of that planet? I was like, maybe because
like
I'm not a 12-year-old boy. Yeah.
Right. She said it like a scientist.
I was like, oh.
You're just waiting for the other pronunciations. I know.
I was like, wait a minute. It's not Uranus? It's not? All right. Astrologer Ann, you can find her online at astrologerann.com. So Goldfish is rolling out what they call Megabytes, and it's basically targeted towards adults. They're making Goldfish for adults, which makes a lot of sense to me because I've been shoving Goldfish in my mouth by the handful for years now.
So wait a minute. So they're just making them larger in general, or does this mean they you know, they're coming up with flavors that are more adult-like, like chicken teriyaki or, you know, vodka and orange juice?
Well, they're called Megabytes. So I'm assuming that they're bigger, but they're going to come in two flavors, sharp cheddar and cheddar jalapeno. So I'm guessing the cheddar jalapeno is the one that's really hitting to the adults, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, no, it says, they're larger than Goldfish. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm into this. I never understood why there was some snacks that were supposed to be for kids and like not targeted towards adults, because let's be honest, kids' food is actually better than most adult foods.
Yeah, well, I mean, the packaging anyways is cooler, right? I mean, if you make something into the shape of a dinosaur or my favorite characters from Star Wars or SpongeBob or anything like that, really it's going to pique my interest. But you're right. I mean, certain foods that were intended for kids or are marketed to kids are just awesome for adults.
I remember looking at the calorie count in the goldfish, and I remember thinking that I could shove an entire handful in my mouth, and it would be less than like a bag of Doritos. And I was like, yeah, like I'm definitely going to have these. But all right, let's think about it. What are the best foods that are supposed to be for kids, but truthfully, they're awesome for adults?
Last football week of the NFL season this past weekend, I picked up a 20-piece chicken nugget on the way home, Chicken McNugget. It was awesome. Guess what? I didn't have to share it with anybody. There was nobody home.
I always wondered why nuggets, chicken nuggets, are always considered on the kids' menu. Because I'm like, maybe that's what I want.
Right.
Why can't I have chicken nuggets?
It was all I wanted. It was all I wanted.
And I like the dinosaur ones. They have crispy edges. It makes it better.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Jell-O?
Oh.
Jell-O? I mean, think about it. What's the first thing we do as adults when we have Jell-O and there's no kids around?
Shove it in our mouth?
We put vodka in it. That's what we do.
So maybe what? No, you don't.
I mean, but if it's July 4th party time, that's what we're doing.
That's weird. Your parties are different than mine.
Oh, yeah. Racks and racks of Jell-O. So, I mean, Jell-O. I think of French fries, believe it or not, as a kid's food.
That's dumb. Because steakhouses, the highest-end steakhouses sell French fries, and I bet you they sell a ton of French fries.
Yeah. I just think of anything that you can grab a handful of or that's finger-sized, right? I think of that as kid-like.
I don't like how they have these yogurts that are supposed to be for kids because they're fun-flavored. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I would also like M&Ms in my yogurt. Yeah, I would also like a Snicker bar in my yogurt. Why is this targeted towards children when, as an adult, it's also what I want?
Yes, makes sense. I'm telling you, this weekend I got all my favorite sauces. I didn't have to worry about anybody's fingers going in my tangy barbecue, mixing that up with the sweet and sour. Hot mustard, all mine, Anna. It was glorious.
42% of people say they don't feel guilty if they do nothing at all on the weekend. Like nothing, they just lay on the couch and they're as lazy as can be.
You know, it depends. I can't do it every single weekend, but I'm certainly one of those people that can do it like every other weekend or maybe every 3 weekends where I'll do next to nothing. I'll still get my errands and stuff like that done. But other than that, I won't go out. I won't get too crazy with my time. On the other hand, if I do it too many weeks in a row, I feel like a lump on a log.
Right. So I am one of those people that feels guilty. And I, you know, I had these knee surgery. They ended up having to operate on both my knees. And for the first time in my life, I find myself like unable to do all the normal things that I would do. And I am like that mom on the weekends where we're warriors. We got things to do between the practices and the games and the grocery shopping and the Walmart runs. And like there is an itinerary. There are things that have to get done. And from the morning my eyes wake up until I go to bed at night, it's pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself this Saturday, I was sitting on the couch and my husband, Paul, took my daughter out and my mom took my youngest daughter out. So I was by myself. Now, first of all, I'm home by myself for 7 hours. I cannot tell you a time in recent history that I was home by myself for 7 hours.
Right.
No idea whatsoever. On top of that, I'm just stuck on my couch because I can't really walk much because of the surgery and the recovery.
Right.
So I just watched like terrible TV. I tried to do some show prep. I went on like the internet. I tried to read some articles. I tried to think of good ideas. And I felt terrible. I felt guilty about the whole thing.
Well, but now that the work is done, right, there's not much left. So what is it you're going to do to occupy your time so you don't feel like a terrible person? Because some people, they have the psyche where it won't bother them at all.
And yeah, not
others,
me.
No.
No.
Right.
Right. I have to accomplish something. So I'm thinking, there's got to be ideas out there, things that you can do when you're kind of have to be stationary. You can't really move around. You don't have fully functional legs at the moment. What can I do that'll be productive, but still fun and enjoying my time off? And I'm by myself.
You should join one of those call center companies.
You just call people?
Yeah. Tell me about how my insurance is going to run out or the warranty on my car is about to expire. That would be great.
How much do they pay for that stuff? That's a good side hustle to do while I'm stuck on the couch.
Usually they have an accent. I'm not even sure if they're here in the country.
All right. 42% of people say they feel guilty when they do nothing over the weekend. It's exactly how I felt this past weekend because my family was all out. And because I had this surgery on my knees, I'm kind of just sitting on the couch at home. There's got to be things that you can do to be productive when you can't really move around, right? So I'm looking for ideas. What can I do to keep busy while I'm stuck all these weekend hours on my couch? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, you have ideas?
Okay, well, I know this sounds a little creepy, but you can make voodoo dolls
on your couch. Like, me and my friends do it all the time.
What?
You do it all the time?
I mean, who do you make voodoo dolls all the time? Are you a coven of witches? Like, what's happening over there? Seriously.
Just something fun you do with your hands. You know, it's like knitting.
But do you put the needles into the voodoo dolls and then you wish harm on people? Or are they just cute little dolls?
Most of the time, cute little dolls. Sometimes we feel like, let's put a pin in this one.
This is not knitting. This is nothing like knitting. My mother is a knitter. You, ma'am, are nothing like my mother.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. I don't want to make voodoo dolls. I don't want
to. Unless they work.
Oh, my gosh. There's actually websites that teach you how to make voodoo dolls. I don't even want to click because I feel like it's going to bring me bad karma. But I'm going to just because I'm curious.
Yeah, Anna and Raven, what can Anna do on the couch by herself?
Crocheting. Have you ever tried crocheting? It's the best. I mean, you can make anybody a scarf, a hat, a blanket. It's a great way to pass time.
I don't want to sound like a naysayer because my friend Bonnie, she does beautiful, beautiful crocheting. Like, her sweaters are incredible. The stuff she makes is beautiful. It just seems so boring, right?
I mean,
from the outside,
clothes is one thing, but my wife's grandmother, she has a friend that's like in a senior center or whatever, and she makes all these things. And for the longest time, Munn would give these away to people for like birthdays and Christmas and all that stuff. But it would like be the stuff made out of like yarn, and it'd be like a portrait. She gave us a portrait of the dog one year crocheted. It would be like, you know, things that people don't use anymore. So it'd be like a tea-like candle holder or like a crocheted box to go around a box of tissues. And you know, I mean, they just all make it look like your house is ancient, right?
Yeah.
Like it's your great-grandmother's house is all I'm saying.
She invited me to come to a crochet party at her house, and I was like, only if I don't have to crochet.
Right.
Like, if I could come and just pour the wine and sit there quietly, like, I'm in. But otherwise, and doesn't it seem, like, annoying? Like, when you make a mistake, you have to go back and fix it somehow? It's above my pay grade for sure. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What can I do to pass the time?
Okay, so my best friend just turned me on to that whole series of master classes that you could buy a master class and learn pretty much anything, like how to make a movie, how to watch a movie, how to understand cooking. And that's the coolest thing that I've ever seen.
I have been seeing these commercials and have been super curious myself too, because it's like all the people that, you know, you want to emulate in some of these things. Like, I saw there was a class on how to write a rock song with Metallica. There was like a class on movie making with James Cameron. I mean, how amazing.
I'm looking at one right now, Raven. I just went to the website. You could take a class with Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah.
Teaches science and problem solving.
Oh, I love that dude.
I don't want to do that, but is there one about Beyonce just being real fly? I would take that class. How can I just be cool? Oh, look, Nas teaches hip-hop storytelling.
Oh.
Like, all right.
Well, you would also be interested in that, right?
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Joanna and Mike. Joanna, what's going on?
We've been married for a while. We have three children, and I think that it's time to have two SUVs in our home. I currently have one, and we need two cars that are able to carry all of our children. Mike really wants this like sporty sedan that he's been looking for, and he found this used Dodge Charger. Really, really loves it. Really, really wants it. But he needs to have an SUV.
Mike, how are you going to put all three kids in the back of a Charger?
Chargers are really big. I don't know if you've seen them. The three kids will fit easily, especially if one of them, as they get older, they're going to go in the front seat. It's got three seats in the back, got one in the front. I can easily take three kids. It's a nice long car, so it has plenty of trunk space. So we've talked about this. We don't have a construction company, so we don't have a ton of stuff. It's like backpacks and whatever's in the back. And because we have the other SUV there, you know, we can flip and flop. So if she wants to take the Charger one day and I got to take the kids to soccer and there's more stuff in the back, I can then take the SUV. So this gives us, instead of two SUVs, some options for what we want to drive.
Yeah, but Mike, what about inclement weather here? I mean, Joanna, you feel comfortable driving a turbocharged V8 because he needs to take the kids somewhere. I mean, you say it, Mike, like it's no big deal, but you and I both know that that's not true. I mean, if you're driving a vehicle that's rear-wheel drive, you're not used to that or whatever. I mean, come on.
You mean to tell me, Mike, that you really believe that you can put three children? How many car seats?
There's two. The one's very close to being done with it, so it's going to be one, and then we're done.
Well, then you got to put one car seat in a booster at that point. So you're still dealing with a lot of real estate. It's really going to fit all in the back of that, and they're going to be comfortable?
Yeah. Well, we also have the front seat. I mean, when all of us are in the car going anywhere, we'll take the SUV if we're going on a road trip. But if it's just me dropping off the kids, if that's the question, can easily fit all of that in the back of the Charger.
Mike, you're putting what you want ahead of what our family needs. And I honestly don't think that's fair. You can't put an 8-year-old in the front seat. First of all, it's not safe.
Right.
And I use the SUV to commute to work every day. So it's not like we can just switch back and forth.
I mean, it's not safe. I don't even think it's legal in most states.
I think 14 is that magic number.
Right.
But we can see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Mike, that you work. And if this is the kind of car you want to have, then the kids got to cram in and deal with it. But they may see Joanna's side, too. It doesn't really make sense for a young family to have a sports car when you need more room right now. And Mike, down the line, you can get whatever you want. But right now, you need to think about getting a bigger car.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how big a Charger's back seat is. You're not putting two car seats back there and a third kid. I'm telling you, it doesn't fit. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Joanna and Mike are having a disagreement because Mike found a used Charger that he wants. They've got three kids.
Sure.
He says it's big. It's his dream car. It's a good deal.
Yeah. At the same time, Joanna says, let's be realistic here. We've got three kids again. We need to make sure that we've got an SUV, both of us, because who knows which car is going to be available when, and our children need to be transported. You know, that's the thing. You know, in certain areas, especially, once you drive an SUV, I don't think you go back with today's SUVs. You just feel safer.
That's
You're up
not
higher.
True.
That's how I feel.
So my husband has to drive an SUV now because we've got the two kids and we need space, right?
Right.
But I promised him, I said, when Dakota gets older, then you can go back to driving a car. Now, am I going to keep that promise? I don't know.
Right.
But
he might not want one at that point is all I'm saying. He might not. When you made that deal, he probably felt that way, but I don't think he will at that point.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. I don't think any family needs two SUVs. Think of the environment. Really? Why should you have to tell him what kind of car he's got to drive?
I mean, a muscle car with a V8 is probably actually worse on the environment than the SUV, but thank you for the call.
We appreciate it. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Act like you're saving a polar bear baby with a Dodge Charger. Come on.
It's time for Mike to get a brand new car, and he found the perfect car, his dream car, a used Charger, the right price. His wife, Joanna, says, are you crazy? We have three kids. You're not putting two car seats in the back of that car plus all their sports equipment and backpacks.
Joanna already drives an SUV. This is how they transport the family when they're getting around. Mike says, we can just use that when we need it. But Joanna says, what happens if something goes wrong with that car? Be realistic. We need two vehicles that can transport all our family all the time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
The wife. I have the exact same situation. Me and my husband, he actually got a Charger. And I had a Dodge Durango, and there was no way the kids were sitting in the car. We have two kids, 3 years old and 4 years old. They're both in car seats. And ultimately, he had to get rid of the car after 6 months and ended up getting a Jeep Wrangler.
I mean, think about how awesome it was, though, every time you guys had a momentous event and he did donuts at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Good.
Like, you know, Brady's Super Bowl victory, the birth of your third child, anything like that to celebrate. Go light him up, Tommy.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. The dad has to suck it up, and he's got to go with a more sporty car, but, you know, a better car for the kids. But there's a middle ground position, maybe a sporty station wagon. That's what my wife and I did. We had one SUV. We had one sporty station wagon that was still pretty fast, but it had the three seats in the back that could fold down for more trunk space, or you put them in the back facing rear. The kids love it.
Yeah, I got to be honest, exactly what my husband and I did.
But
yeah.
It was like, remember, what was it? The Magnum,
thank you.
Right? That thing was like a muscle car station wagon. It's not even all that old.
There's so many SUVs now that are so sporty. They're like a good in-between. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on her side. You can't, with the kids, you can't have a charger. You need, they make awesome SUVs now, and he's just crazy with the booster seat. No way.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Joanna, our audience agreed with you this morning. Mike, you're being selfish. I get it. You want like a sports car. I understand most people want something flashy that they really enjoy driving, but you'll have that, just not right now when you have three small children.
All right. I mean, that's fair.
I'm glad they agreed. It's about the kids at this point. We're not in our early 20s anymore. Like, we're not going for joyrides.
Mike, I get it. You want a toy. You want something fun. You feel like you work hard. It's for you, but give up. Those choices have already been made for you, sir.
Yeah, I had the kids, so I made my bed.
All right, you have a problem, too. Send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven jackpot is $400 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all your cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, Nick, let's play. We've got the jackpot up to $400. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Nick.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven is taking off his headphones and walking out of the studio. When that big door closes, he can't hear us. The studio is soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. All you have to do is get more right than Raven, and you win the $400. You ready to play?
Yep.
Okay, number one. One of the newest COVID terms is flu-rona. That's when you have the flu and COVID at the same time. What band created the song My Sharona?
The Knack.
Number two, rumors of Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd dating have resurfaced after lyrics on his new album allude to the relationship. Who won the Super Bowl the year that The Weeknd was the halftime performer?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Number three, Demi Lovato debuted a new spider tattoo on her head. How many legs does a spider have?
8.
Number four, Mark Wahlberg posted a video of him working out with his 18-year-old daughter's boyfriend and making jokes about keeping him close. He has a new movie that's coming out this summer where he had to gain 40 pounds for the role. What movie was that?
Still.
Time's up. That's okay. You're doing great. Number five, the new Pam and Tommy trailer for Hulu's miniseries was released, and it'll cover their relationship and the sale of their stolen honeymoon video. What country is Pamela Anderson from?
Canada.
Great. Nice job, Nick. Let's bring Raven back in. Let's wave him in.
Yo.
Okay. Nick did awesome. He got 4 out of 5.
Wow. Pretty impressive there, Nick. Let's see how I do.
And number one, one of the newest COVID terms is flu-rona. That's when you have the flu and COVID at the same time.
Hmm.
What band created the song My Sharona?
Oh, that's the Knack.
Yes. Number two, did you know that Sharona is the name of a woman? That was his girlfriend for 3 years.
Yeah.
She's a real estate agent in L.A. now. I had no idea. I had never crossed my mind that my Sharona was a real person. Okay. Anyway. Number two. Rumors of Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd dating have resurfaced after lyrics on his new album allude to the relationship. Who won the Super Bowl the year that The Weeknd was a halftime performer?
Wasn't it the Bucks?
Yes. Number three. Demi Lovato debuted a spider tattoo on her head. How many legs does a spider have?
8 legs.
Yes. Number four, Mark Wahlberg posted a video of himself working out with his 18-year-old daughter's boyfriend, making jokes about keeping him pretty close. He has a new movie coming out this summer where he had to gain 40 pounds for the role. What movie was that?
Isn't it called Stew?
No, it's called Joe Bell.
Oh.
All right, you need this last one to tie Nick, otherwise he's $400 richer, right?
Nice, good luck, Nick.
The new Pam and Tommy trailer for Hulu's miniseries was released, and it'll cover their relationship and the sale of their stolen honeymoon video. What country is Pamela Anderson from?
She's from Canada.
Yes.
Woo! Close game.
Yeah, real close. Nick, we're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt. You did great. I hope you get through to play again.
Yeah, me too. This is Nick, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, Nick. Enjoy that shirt, man. Good game.
Another $100 in the pot. That means tomorrow you have your shot at $500.
Well, that happened quick.